Thanks, Chris.
The reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Generosity encouraged. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through this, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, so you may have guessed Will's going to be bringing us our word tonight. Let me just pray for you. Father, still our hearts. Prepare us, Lord, to receive your good food. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, welcome to our Harvest Festival Sunday evening service. Some of you may be wishing we'd sung We Plough the Fields and Scatter. We sang that at the 11:15. It sounded very good. Some great words in some of those old traditional harvest songs. And in days gone by, the Harvest Sunday would have been a time of sort of a collective sigh of relief. All the harvest, the crops would have been gathered in, fruit and onions and other stuff like that, pickled in jars, not just to sell to make money, but of course for people to live off over the harsh winter. So the harvest was actually an incredibly important time of year. When the harvest failed, people died. There was great suffering. And so since time immemorial, thanks have been given at the end of a successful harvest. When the weather has been good and the farmers have been able to gather in their crops without loads and loads of rain falling and causing it to rot. And we've lost sight of that earthiness now, haven't we? I mean, it doesn't really matter. Yep, prices would go up, but actually none of us is going to starve if a load of farmers in the UK had a really bad harvest. You know, the shelves at Tesco would still be full of food, perhaps more sort of canned food or flown in food, but nobody would be starving. So we've lost sight of how important harvest is as a time of year, and also in the Christian calendar, because we thank God. You know, Christians don't believe it's a kind of a coincidence that things happen. We believe God is sovereign over anything. So I imagine if you're a farmer and you've had a great harvest and you follow Jesus Christ, you're probably saying, thank you, Lord, for keeping the rains away during the, you know, when I've been combining, and, you know, thank you for drying everything out, and thank you for helping me get in all the crops and things. And so it was also a time of merrymaking. This is, of course, you know, assuming you had a good harvest. I imagine, you know, traditionally we've had harvest suppers here. More recently, those have morphed into a harvest barn dance. Is anyone here sort of missing this year's Harvest Barn Dance? Thank you. Yes, come on, guys. It's really good. Yes, thank you. It's really good fun. We decided not to do it this year because of the parish weekend. There was a limit to how many events we could run. And people have brought their gift in. And actually, if you have brought any gifts of non-perishable food, do please, perhaps when we're singing some songs later on, you can go and deposit them over there. And the church would traditionally redistribute these gifts to those people who were in need. So we've used Harvest as a time not just to give thanks and to celebrate, but also to give. And people have been giving, you see from the pile over there, non-perishable food, but also it's a time, I think, annually, just to be reminded about the importance of our financial giving, which is an important part of our worship, as I will go on to speak about. And your giving, our giving, because I give as well, our giving is really, really important. In our passage that we had read to us, Paul writes, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." I don't know if you've ever, has anybody ever, Darren, I know you will have done this, but actually sown a new lawn or a new patch of grass, okay? Now, I'm really, I'm impatient, you know, and you get a big box, you have to go and buy a big box of grass seed, and you've got like where the paddling pool used to be in the summer. So I've got about 10 times as much grass seed as I actually need. But do I stick to the instructions on the box? And it's like 10 grams per square. No, I just chuck it all on. And actually, you do get a really luxuriant growth. So when I've done that, I have not sown sparingly. And there's been a great eruption of grass. And this is what Paul is saying. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And we as a church have sown generously. And you'll be delighted and relieved to hear that I'm not going to be kind of trying to hit you over the head to turn the thumb screws on you to get more money out of you. Actually, what I want to talk about is how the fruits of what of the sowing you guys have done through your generosity. So let's start abroad. We have supported St. George's Church in Baghdad. So 10% of everything you give to us, we then give away. So we tithe as a church 10%. And part of that 10% has gone to Baghdad. Baghdad, it really didn't hit the newspapers at all, but they've been going through horrific rioting and stuff like that. Some of the staff at St. George's have had to flee. They've flown up to Erbil, where it's safer for them. They're now back there. And the medical center in St. George's, which we're supporting, is the only place in Baghdad where you can get free medical support irrespective of your faith. Now, if you're Muslim, you can get help in Baghdad, but if you're a Christian, you pay through the nose, except at St. George's. It's wonderful to see those of faith, different faiths, and no faith receiving free medical care in part through your generosity. You have also helped to train ordinands. You know what an ordinand is? It's someone who is training for ordination as a priest in the church. Your money has gone out to the Union Biblical Seminary in India and has helped train ordinands who will be made priests and sent out into the rural areas of India to plant churches, spreading the gospel at considerable danger to themselves. So that's another thing we have been doing. You've supported the Shining Light School in Pune, who look after orphaned street children. You've contributed to the work of Open Doors, which is a wonderful charity that supports the persecuted church wherever she exists. You supported Emma Cottrell, who is our very own live mission partner, homegrown mission partner. And Emma uses creativity to bring healing and hope to people in Romania and Israel. And also some of you who've attended her Created Creatively evenings here will know all about that. As a one-off, we have supported the Mercy Ships because Ian and Flo spent 3 months early in the year out there. So that's just some of the kind of overseas mission organizations we have supported, all of them with a very strong Christian ethos, okay? We do not support secular charities. Secular charities have millions and millions and millions of people who will support them. Christian charities only have Christians to support them. And so what about at home? We have our food bank operating out of the center, a very behind-the-scenes ministry that produce will go down to the center where it gets boxed up, dated, and people go to the CAB, and if they fit the criteria, they then have a food box delivered to them. You heard Ollie mention the SOS room, again down at the center. That takes your money to keep going. You know, we equip homeless people if they don't have a sleeping bag, if they don't have kit to survive, we give them that kit. And it's a wonderful resource to have. A couple of years ago, it was used quite a lot. Poor old Michael Gregg and Paul Burgess and the rest of the team, I think, were fairly run ragged, it would be fair to say. But last year, don't know why, we didn't have a particularly harsh winter, did we? But there was only one guest for one night. So that's an important thing. You support the community lunch. It's wonderful. Every Tuesday, sort of 60, 70, this place is turned into a restaurant. We serve a three-course meal. It's absolutely amazing. Most of the volunteers don't even go to any churches at all, so it's a wonderful way of actually facilitating the community to get involved in some social action. Whew. I'm not finished yet, okay? This is such good news. Your financial support helps us to run the center in Verney Close, where we run tea and chat, coffee and chat. There's space for all sorts of support groups. There's an Alzheimer's support group, dementia support, all sorts of stuff going on down there. That takes money. There will shortly be a paid caretaker down there. Wages need paying. We're running, there's a new ministry, Women's Heaven, aimed at helping young mums who are struggling for a variety of reasons. And you know what all this means? Is we're now known in the community because of our love. And you know what, I remember saying this over the years. I said my absolute nightmare as a leader of a church would be if people outside the church didn't care whether we existed or didn't exist, i.e. if our church was irrelevant. That would be, I think, the most devastating critique of us all, actually, if our church was irrelevant. But nothing could be further from the truth. Let me just illustrate that. You can't really see it, but there's a stained glass window over there that was smashed a couple of weeks ago. One guy, almost certainly high on drugs, looking for his next fix, went round town breaking into various places. He tried to break in here. I'm thinking, if you want to steal something from the church, the door is open during daylight hours, and the church is, you know, there's lots of time when the church is completely not manned. You know, you can come and help yourself. I mean, one of these chairs is worth 150 quid. You know, there's endless things that could be stolen from this church. Why break through an incredibly expensive bit of stained glass to do that? £2,000 to repair. Of course, our insurance excess is really high because otherwise our premium would be eye-watering. So we can't claim for that. And so I posted the picture on Facebook and I said, you know, isn't it a shame this is what's happened? Whoa, I've had hundreds of comments, hundreds of posts. A lot of people saying, what a shame, I'm so sorry. A few negative comments saying, you know, who cares? The church is stinking rich, as if. The church commissioners are sitting on whatever it is, £90 million. Yeah, thank you, that's my pension fund. They'll pay for it. And, you know, just while I was just, you know, getting ready to go like that and disabuse these people of their crazy ideas, I looked and there were people piling in who weren't even a member of the church saying, give the church a break. They're fantastic. Do you know what? If you need some food, they'll give you a box of food. If you're suffering, they'll send someone around to go and pray for you. And I was going, yeah, bring it on. And it's amazing how God works. That little broken window there, not only have people outside the church donated money to its repair, but more importantly, the outpouring of affection for the church. People saying, this is our church. Isn't that great? This isn't the church that just sits up on the hill. This is an incarnational church, like Jesus was incarnational, and he came down and became one of us. This church is part of the community. And you, the church family, play such a vital role in making that happen. So that was just so, so exciting. But there's more. We're running a life skills course as well for some people who've never had modeled to them how to run a household budget, how to cook an economy meal, you know, a cheap meal. They've had the kind of upbringing, some of them, who, if it's food, you know, go and get some fish and chips, go and get a plate of chips. You know, expensive and unhealthy. Okay, so we're teaching them actually how to cook on a budget. We run a club, the Kit Kat Club, for young carers who struggle in the holidays. That's a very kind of behind-the-scenes club. Verse 9, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Let's just meditate on that verse. As it is written, and this is a quote from one of the Psalms, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Thank you. Isn't that wonderful? We have scattered these gifts. And their righteousness endures forever. And, last week we were talking about serving and how it wasn't an optional add-on. You know, if you follow Jesus, you should be serving, if you're physically able to, that is, in some form or another. But today we're just, we're focusing on financial giving, which is really what Paul was talking about in the reading we had tonight. And your giving enables so much more than what I've just outlined. Because we have, for example, a dedicated member of staff who looks after pastoral care. We've invested by employing a children's worker. Now, I mean, this is kind of good and bad news. The good news is we're like in the top 20 churches, Anglican churches in England, for average Sunday attendance for children. Now, that's amazing. Yeah, well done. The bad news is I wish we were number 300th and there would be 299 other churches that were way, way better and bigger than us. So in one sense, it's quite depressing that we're in the top 20, little old Buckingham. But let's just, give thanks where it's due. We employ Lara, who is upstairs now, helping those of us who have teenagers. And you know how nerve-wracking being a parent of teens is as they navigate their way through this dark world with so many malign influences and expectations and selfies and Instagrams and social media. And I hear something called TikTok as well at the moment. I need somebody to explain that to me. So important we help raise our youngsters properly in the Word of God. And then there's our families ministry, our ministries into the schools, and the fruit is here to see. We saw two little bits of that fruit out the front here tonight. It's so, so important. And we've got Ollie as our outreach pastor, is also a ministry trainee. You know, he has a salary, not a massive one. And then we have John Earle. Is John here tonight? He's our chairman. He's upstairs. John, I can't see you. Yeah, because of the spotlight, but he's, you know, he's the chairman. Doing a wonderful job caretaking here. So important with all the stuff that's going on. So that's the kind of the people. And then we've got this magnificent old building, and I am old-fashioned, and I'm really fond of this building. You know, it is beautiful. I was thinking back when I came, just where Ali's sitting down there, there was water falling in. We needed a new roof. £250,000. But the church stepped up, gave sacrificially, and we now have a glorious new copper roof, although sadly, you can only see it from a drone. And then those of you who live in old houses will know how much maintenance is needed on a house that's like 300 years old. And so, you know, the drains need doing, that's another £1,000 or whatever it is. The tarmac needs redoing out by the war memorial. These are really exciting projects, aren't they? Not. They're not going to win anybody for Jesus. But you know what? They need doing. There's no way of escaping it. And so it all adds up. And I hope and pray that you can see that we need your continued financial support. And I believe we're very effective. We're prudent. I know it's not always a good sign if people come in under budget every year, because you're thinking, well, hang on, I gave you that money to go and spend it on mission. But equally, it's not great when you waste money and come in over budget every year. And actually, all the budget holders are prudent. And we're really careful. We're so conscious about the widow's mite, so to speak. But there is inflation, and costs go up, and there's more we want to do, not just tarmac and drains, by the way. So what we've done is we've applied. Oxford Diocese is giving away, it's got a pot of £1 million to give away, and we've applied for some of that money to bolster up our pastoral care, our pastoral support, because it's creaking at the seams. And so the good news is, if we win that bid, that will be the good news. The bad news is, it has to be match funded. So we'll hear, I don't know when we hear, but we'll hear, I don't know, sometime in the new year. And I may be back having another little, guys, we need to raise £20,000 if we are to get the £20,000 from the diocese. But anyway, that's another story. We'll leave that for next year. As we grow, our capacity to pastor people needs to grow too. And do you know what? I remember years ago there was another defense review, and it was called Frontline First. Those of you of a certain age might remember that. Frontline First. It was all about cutting all the civil servants and at the back of the MOD and putting the money at the front end. Ho ho ho. Yeah, they all got cut, and nobody ever got any more money at the front end. But do you know what? It's all very well. It's like building an amazing battleship with all sorts of guns and missiles if you've only got one engineer and one cook to keep the show on the road. So, you know, the office is struggling at the moment as well. And one of the things we need to do before Jan has a complete nervous breakdown is to find some money to pay for, a very part-time member of staff in there to, you know, who's IT literate to help her in there. So there we go. Some of these things that we need to do are really exciting. Others are not headline grabbing, but I got to be honest with you. You know, I can't say that, you know, all your money goes on mission and outreach. I would be lying to say that. You know, your money goes on all those sorts of things that I have talked about. And so every year, I think it's important we just remind ourselves of some of the basic principles about why Christians should give. Now, little caveat here, some of you have been giving for longer than I have been alive and could show me a thing or two about sacrificial giving. I completely accept that. However, there may be people here for whom this is the first time they've heard. So that's important that we do that. The second thing is, I do know that there will be people here who are struggling to put food on the table. And what I want you to hear from me is I don't want to add to your difficulties. Okay, I really don't want to add to your difficulties. There's a lovely passage in Mark 12 that just highlights that. So Jesus sees the offerings many rich people are bringing in, and I guess perhaps slightly ostentatiously. I can't really think of a sort of a modern equivalent, perhaps a flourish of a DuPont pen on a very big checkbook and, very obviously lots of zeros like that and then a sort of ostentatious like that. But a poor widow came in and put two very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Jesus, calling his disciples to him, said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." And it's just a wonderful picture, because I do get a bit of kickback from people after talks like this. They say, "Will, all you ever do is you just talk about money and you're constantly asking for more money or asking for more people to help." And I'm thinking to myself, we do a giving talk once a year, and once a year we might do an appeal for more people to help in ministry. But it's quite a sensitive issue, and I think some people, they feel. But I would say, look at that passage from Mark's gospel and be reassured that God sees what you give. Whether it's big or large, he sees what you give. This is between you and God. And so Paul writes, "Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, I was thinking this morning, I can say this because none of my kids are in here, I think. If one of my kids came to me and said, "Dad, it's your birthday. I've got a present for you. Take the present." I think I'd say to them, "Do you know what? I really don't need that. I'm happy for you. If it's going to make you happier, don't give me the present. I would much rather a much, much smaller present that is given to me with a big smile on your face and perhaps with a hug as well." Do you know what I mean? I think God is exactly like that. So I would say to you, if you're kind of metaphorically, speaking, writing that check and it's like, just don't want to do this like that, don't do it. God would much prefer for you to cut it down, but to be able just to give it with a gladness and a joy in your heart, okay? Because God loves a cheerful giver. So hear me, there's no compulsion, but when you do give, give cheerfully. And he goes on to say, verse 12, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people." And that's a picture, that pile of non-perishable food that's going down to the food bank is in a sense a picture of what Paul is talking about here. "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people." We are supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. It's a wonderful picture, that. Now, people say that the last thing that is converted is our wallets, and that was certainly the case with me. I'd have called myself a, born-again, card-carrying Christian. It wasn't until a while after that that, I started to open up my wallet, so I completely understand how difficult it is. So let me just quickly rattle through some pointers. Danny, by the way, I think he's watching in Ephesus. Danny, if you're watching in Ephesus, we love you. I'm not claiming these are original, by the way, but the first point is just remember, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. This is a big mistake that when we get our wallets out, I look at what's in here and I think to myself, wow, you know, I've got some money in here. What am I going to spend my money on that I have earned? Will, that's a fail, that's wrong. It's like, God, what would you have me spend your money that you have blessed me with to spend in a godly way? What would you have me spend it on? And a lot of the time I hear, not more money on your Land Rover, Will. So there's a little bit of a conversation going on with the Lord there. But you have to remember, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. A member of staff asked to borrow my car a while ago. And I immediately said, yeah, of course you can borrow my car. And they were a little bit sort of, whoa, that didn't take you very long to think about that. I said, it's not my car. It's God's car. God has blessed me with this car. Therefore, if it's God, I know you're running around doing God's business, is it? You can borrow my car. It was a no-brainer for me. Point two, remember that God is generous. In Genesis, he says, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth. Every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky and all the... Okay, you getting the picture here? Okay, God doesn't hold back in his blessings and generosity. We have a God of unbelievable generosity. And we are called to steward that creation. And what God gives us in our wallets is part of that creation. Our time, our talents, and our finances. Why do we give? Always worth asking ourselves that. Well, giving is a heart issue. How generous we are, I think, can be a barometer of how close to the Lord we are. If we find ourselves getting really, really stingy in our giving, I think you need to ask yourself, how close is my relationship to God at the moment? We also give as an expression of gratitude, saying thank you to God for the cross. Thank you for Jesus Christ dying for me in my place. Thank you, Lord, for the changes in my life. Mike Evans might be saying, thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have been answered. The least I can do, Lord, is to give a little bit back to you of what you have given me. Then giving is an act of worship. Sometimes you hear the service leader saying, you know, when we introduce the offering slide, you know, giving's a really important part of our worship. It sounds a bit trite, but it's true. Giving is a part of our worship. It's a powerful way to say to God, I want to honor you. And giving is an act of faith. In Malachi, God says through the prophet, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So there's this picture of everyone's tithe, everyone's gift coming into the temple, the storehouse, that there may be food in God's house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now, isn't it interesting? Danny made this point last year that everywhere else, God says, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. You know, it's absolutely verboten, testing God. This is the one place where God says, yeah, you can test me on this. Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse and the blessings will flow. Very quickly, how much should we give? Well, there's lots of debate about this. In the Old Testament, there's an awful lot that says 10%. That was just what people gave. It was always a 10% figure. There may be seasons where you can give more than 10%, other seasons where you can't even give half of 1%. But if you want a rough guide, aim for 10% because it's a good Old Testament principle. When should we give? Well, we give of our first fruit. So Lucia and I try to increase our giving every year in line with inflation as a minimum. And we do this without thinking how we're going to afford everything else. Now, you may say, Will, you need to go on a financial planning course. And you're probably right. But we just kind of do that because it's a matter of faith that we trust that even if our giving is going up another, and remember, this is every year, so we've gone past the 10% mark a while ago, you know, and it's like, whoa, you know, I could be buying a seriously nice Series 1 Land Rover, you know, sort of at this stage. It's the first thing we decide, and we allow God to take care of everything else. So that's when we should give. And then who should you give your tithe to? Well, this is this could be contentious. Personally, I feel we should give our tithe to the church, bearing in mind, of course, that 10% of that is then given away in the church's own tithe. We also support other charities because, of course, we don't, you know, I do not want you to stop supporting other Christian charities. But we do that over and above the 10%, if you know what I mean. I mean, other people will say, no, it's all part of my 10%. I'm not going to argue about that. It's entirely up to you. But the main thing is that Malachi thing about it all going into the storehouse of the Lord. So giving is always a challenge. Harry's going to make his way up here. It's never easy. If you give nothing at the moment, then try and give something. If you give rarely, then try and give regularly. If you give regularly, then try the whole tithe thing. Great. So, Harry, I have got some questions. By the way, Harry is our wonderful head of finance. By the way, there's a situation vacant as the head of our stewardship. That's been vacant for quite a long time, but we got Harry kind of covers both at the moment. But, Harry, how are our finances at the moment?
Our finances are looking okay at the moment. The last couple of years, we've had a shortfall of 20, 30,000, which hasn't been good. This year, 2019, they're looking in balance. So they're looking all right, but as Will said, there's always lots more to do. There's always lots more we want to do. Just to give you an idea, from you, generous givers, we get about 204,000 a year. And the government adds on gift aid on top of that, about another 45,000. So that's 250, and we then get about another 50,000 from sort of renting out the hall and places like that. So we get about 300,000 in total as our income.
And what are the challenges?
The challenges are there's lots to do. There's so many things we want to do, and it's very difficult to know how much we're going to get next year because it's difficult to plan. So one of the challenges is really encouraging everybody to give regularly, because if everyone gives regularly, then we can see what's hopefully coming in next year and we can start to do a bit more planning.
Now, how we're getting really techie here,
yeah, we're
Harry.
Getting techie.
How can we actually
right.
give?
Lots of different ways of giving. The newest way is the little QR code, which you can see on the back of your service sheet or on the screen there, or there's a bit of paper on under the welcome board. You just point your phone at it, and you can give cashless, Apple Pay, credit card, all that kind of thing. If you've got an Android device, come and see me, because it doesn't work so well. Second way is giving via Amazon Smile. Amazon is going to give 0.5% of anything you spend. You just got to register with it. There's some instructions up there. So that's a very good way, but you do have to shop through smile.amazon rather than purely Amazon. So that's good. Another little way, very short term, last night was a fashion show in here for Rock the Frocks, which is a clothing shop for ladies in town. And for this week until the end of next Saturday, they're going to give 10% of all their takings to the church, if you say you're from the church. So that's a good little one. Another one, just for this year, is ecclesiastical insurance. If you book your home insurance through the ecclesiastical insurance company, they will give £130 to Buckingham Parish Church, which
and
is
can
fantastic.
I just give a plug for ecclesiastical? We use them for the church's insurance here. They are really, really good to deal with. Lucia and I also use them for our home insurance, building insurance, and contents. Not only are they competitive, but when you ring up, you speak to a human being in the UK, and they are really, really helpful.
I can vouch for that, because I used to look after the insurance here as well, and they are really good. So yes, if you wanted to look at insurance, go for them. Really important thing is gift aid. If you're a taxpayer of any sort, please make sure you gift aid if you possibly can. If you're giving cash, there's a little yellow envelope at the back when you can fill that out, then we can get the extra 25% from the government, which is fantastic. But as I said earlier, what we really want is regular giving, so we get it every month of the year, so we know when it's coming through, or you can do it weekly or quarterly or whatever you'd like, but just some regular giving. So that would be the most exciting way of giving.
Fantastic. Well, Harry, we're very grateful to you and the team for keeping an eye on everything.
That's a privilege.
Most of all, we are grateful to you for your generosity. So the band's going to come up, and as they come up, sorry, that was quite a long haul. It's important to do, guys. It's important to do, because if we don't do it, people forget about giving, and then things start tailing off. And we can't do mission as God wants us to do it. So if you want any questions, see Harry at the end. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Why don't we stand? Father God, we thank you that you love a cheerful giver. We thank you that we can even put you to the test on this. Would you give us a spirit of generosity that we might play our part in filling your storehouse, so that you in turn would unleash your blessings on us, just as Malachi wrote. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.